listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.AB.ca.
As a former NHLer analyst on the NHL Network, Stanley Cup winner Mike Rupp joins us once again. Rupper, welcome back to the show, my man. How you doing?
I'm good, Gregs. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing way better than the Orders with a 2-goal lead, Rupper. I can tell you that. Right now, they're like Santa Claus. We get a 2-goal lead. Ah, we'll let you back in the game.
Yeah, they're defending. I know that Connor McDavid's touched on this in the past of saying, yeah, we defend. We've answered that. We've shown that. I wouldn't want to probably be the reporter to ask him about it now, but I can see it coming. They don't defend well now. This season they've been struggling in that department. So, I mean, until they kind of get that going, and you were just talking about, they go on these runs. But when they do that, their game is picked up in certain areas, and that defensive play, it's certainly got to be better. So, especially when – I think the more frustrating thing is – when you know your defensive play needs to be better, but you're playing with leads and then letting it happen. Yeah. So it's even just managing the game that's not there. So it's a frustrating time. I think they will figure it out, but just like everybody else, you want it to happen sooner than later.
Yes. Ideally, that would be a good thing for them. There are a few other teams around the league, Rupper. I watched the Anaheim Ducks late game last night against the Florida Panthers. And whew, the young Quackers, man. Now, I know Florida is a little bit of a shell of themselves. They started out 3-0, and since then, they've been getting spanked and getting outscored. And they obviously missed Barkov, and they obviously missed Tkachuk. And even a guy like Nosek, I think, down the lineup on their fourth line, they probably miss him as their center iceman. So how concerned are you about Florida? Because they're not getting anything. Now, Tkachuk might be back in December, but they're not getting their big guys back anytime soon.
So I know that with the parity that a lot of people are talking about in the Eastern Conference, as of the other day, and I know that's changed over the last probably two nights, but as of like Monday, you had, I think, four teams with like 18 points, and then everybody else was like 13, 12, somewhere in there. Everybody was separated by one. So I guess my point being is, they're in the mix here. I expect them to get better as the season goes on. They'll start getting healthier. To what degree, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like this is going to be a team. I just can't imagine them not making the playoffs. And is that possible? Yeah, absolutely it's possible. It's so early and they've been struggling. But it almost feels like that picture where you're going to see them get like wild card two, and you're going to have a team like Carolina that's going to come out and have the best record in the East. And congratulations, you got the Florida Panthers in round one. It just kind of feels like that for me. I think they'll eventually – I still think even with them being banged up right now and maybe not playing at their best, if the playoffs were to start today, there's a lot of teams that are higher than them in the standings that I would pick the Panthers over. It's just – maybe it's just because we've seen what they've done over the last couple seasons. But – I would normally be more concerned if they weren't fine in the standings. Like, they're totally fine right now, and I would just expect them to get better.
Well, yeah, you would think so, right? Like, it is early on, Rupper. There's already been 60 games going to overtime, so that's what I call 60 bonus points. And yes. And that's why you've got all these teams, like every team in the East has a points percentage. I want to clarify that. Points percentage of 500. If we go to win percentage, it's a little different when we talk about how many teams are actually winning more than half of their games in the East. It's still decent, but it's not as like, oh my God, everybody's great over there. The overtime loss point keeps everything closer, which I know the NHL loves, no question. But there are five teams, Rupper, who have not made the playoffs in five seasons, who are currently in a playoff spot: the Detroit Red Wings, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Utah Mammoth. Now, I included them because of Arizona. I know it's a different organization, but it's the exact same team. And the Anaheim Ducks. Of those five, who are you most confident could be a playoff team at the end of the season?
It's funny because I have the standings right here. That's why I'm looking down. I originally, without a doubt, would have said Detroit. But what Anaheim is doing right now, and the way I kind of see this Pacific division shaking out, I know right now Anaheim's got 17 points as well as Vegas for 17 points in the Pacific. I just look at that Pacific division. I can't see how they're outside the top three. I just don't. I'm not impressed with L.A. I don't know what L.A. is going to look like as the season goes on. Seattle's been a really nice story, but there still hasn't been enough to really make a decision on them. And, you know, Edmonton's going to find their way up. I think it's Anaheim, Vegas, Edmonton, in whatever order you want, in 1 through 3. And I feel pretty secure about that. So if you were to ask me probably a week and a half ago, I would have said Detroit's the one. But I think Anaheim now. And it's really interesting when you look at Anaheim. They're in this nasty stretch right now where they're a nine-game stretch of just kind of gauntlet hockey, playing teams that were all in the playoffs last year, what you would revere as being pretty good hockey clubs. And the Florida Panthers are that team twice in those 9 games. Take that with a grain of salt because of what we said on them. But they're 4-0 already in these 9 games. So this tough stretch that they're supposed to be in, they're finding ways to win. They're a fun team to watch. They've scored 7 goals 3 times this year already. I think Anaheim's that team that can get in.
Yeah, well, I watched the Ducks last night, man. Cutter Gauthier is looking really good right now. Also, Leo Carlson. They've got some young players, and I'll be honest, I'm a big fan of the orange unis that they have.
I like those too.
So that makes it a little bit more easy on the eyes to watch them. But there's lots I like about their team. Like, they're not a cup contender in my eyes yet. You got a long ways to go there, but they are. You know, they're going in the right direction after being in the ditch for a long time, and eventually. You know, that's what you need. Detroit, I still need to see more from Detroit. Now, maybe that's because I've seen them do good, and then they have their 6-game losing streak that knocks them out of the playoffs that's happened for the last few years. So, you know, I'll be hesitant. Plus, you know, Toronto, Tampa. Now, Tampa's won 5 of the last 6. They seem to have righted their ship. And you mentioned Florida, so I'm like, geez, they're still in a pretty tough division. And, you know, Montreal might be the most exciting team in hockey. I don't love them defensively. But I love how exciting they are to watch. Like, they're must tune in TV right now because they'll score a lot of goals and they'll give up a lot of goals.
Yeah, they will. I love the future of them. I'm having a hard time. I know they keep winning. I have a hard time kind of considering them to be. I certainly don't think they're a contender. I think some people are saying, oh, this is their year. They're going to take that next big step. They are a team that has a very bright future.
Yeah.
I just know when we're looking – I was looking at some of the numbers today on them. And in 13 games, they have 4 regulation wins. Okay, so in hockey, in playoff hockey, I should say, 60 minutes, 5-on-5. If you want to compare that, like that's obviously playoff hockey. There's no overtime. They have 4 of 13 – they have 4 wins in 13 games, and that's with 5 overtime wins, 3-on-3. And of the 13 games they've played, only 3 of the teams have made the playoffs last year or were in the playoffs. So they haven't had a tough schedule. They got a nasty one coming up, I think, starting November 20th. There's a nasty stretch. That's where the rubber's going to meet the road for me on Montreal. Can they find a way to look like this or get wins, find ways to get wins during that stretch? Maybe I'll change my tune. But if you're asking me, I mean, I know you're not, I'm going to throw it out there. If you're asking me Anaheim or Montreal, who I think is more dangerous to play if they make the playoffs, I think Anaheim all day long.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would agree with you. What did you make of the goal last night, Rupper? Nashville, Minnesota in overtime. For any of our listeners who are, anybody who's watching hasn't seen it. Basically, Anonin's the goalie for Nashville. He pushes the left post, comes off. The net literally goes from facing up the ice to now almost like a 90-degree turn. And Johansson is on the far side. His first shot, Rupper, is clearly missing the net. And because the net had turned that whole direction, he hit the side of the net. And then he was able to pick the puck up and slide it where the net used to be. And they deemed it a goal because they said the Nashville goalie just pushed the net off for no reason. And I'm like, well, okay, but here's the thing. The shot, when he pushed the net off, the shot was going wide. He would have missed the net. I don't understand how they could count that as a goal. Do you?
So, no. And I will say this, though. Like, it's a weird, I think... The common sense, I'm starting all over this because it's part of me, the hockey player thinks You can't have goalies doing that. Like, that was a pretty routine play. That that post should not have gotten kicked off.
Totally
or
agree.
Off or whatever you want to say. And you can't have goalies doing that. I just think that it's a very slippery slope if that is deemed no goal. But when you look at the rule and you go by the letter of the law, to me, it kind of screams that's no goal. So, I don't know what you – for an example, the imminent – I think that's a key word in this, is the imminent scoring chance. And to your point, how long do you continue that? He got a shot and he hit the post. That post never moved because that was the pivot post. But with that being said, I went and looked at the rule, and the second part of the rule that says if it's going to be considered a goal, that the play, that the imminent scoring chance has to happen prior to the net being dislodged. And when you look at it, the net is dislodged clearly prior to the scoring chance. So that should be a dead play, in my opinion.
100%.
So I think they got to clean up the wording of this. And the funny thing is, I was talking with EJ Raddick about it. How nuts is it in this game that we've all been around the game for so long, watched so much hockey. I've never seen one like this. I haven't seen one like this. And that's where I don't know if there's an adjustment being made. I don't think goalies should have any kind of leeway with putting nets off on a play like that. But at the end of the day, for me, it probably shouldn't have counted.
Yeah. No, I totally shouldn't have counted. When I saw that, I was like, is this a joke? Like, he clearly missed the net on his first shot attempt. So even if the net was on, it would have missed the net. So that's kind of what I don't, that's kind of what I don't understand. So, so we'll kind of see where it goes. Also, want to get your thoughts on a few other things here. There are some teams and really, some players like the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, they blew one game against Toronto. I'm still pretty impressed about where that team is going.
Yeah.
Mark Scheifele is currently second in the NHL in scoring behind McDavid. McDavid's played a few more games. Mark Scheifele didn't make the Four Nations team for Canada. And some felt like, well, he's not the high-end offensive player McDavid or MacKinnon, so he's not going to play in your top two lines.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, maybe you don't like him as a third-line center. But I'm like, if you're putting up that many points and you're that hot, you can't tell me that Mark Scheifele shouldn't be on Team Canada at the Olympics.
No, yeah, I think he should be. I'd probably throw Nick Suzuki in there, too. Those two guys, and here's the thing with them, is when you look at guys like that, and we'll even, I know we're talking about Scheifele here, but he's certainly been hot clearly this year. But when you go back to last year, the run that Suzuki ended the season on until now, he leads, I think we just looked at it, like in 39 games, he's got like 50-some points. It's the most. He's tied for the most in the NHL with David Pastrnak. So he's been on this run right now. But with a Nick Suzuki and a Mark Scheifele, I think the biggest thing is, well, Team Canada has always had the luxury of building a hockey team. They don't just build the best and most talented team.
Yeah.
Team Canada probably doesn't need more offense. So can you do more than the offensive side, which is very important? You're not on that roster unless you can provide offense. But they kind of have those guys, especially at the center ice position. So I do think Mark Scheifele could do more. I think Mark Scheifele's a decent-sized body that can play big, and he can protect pucks. I think Nick Suzuki it doesn't have the same frame, but he's such an intellectual player. I think both guys would look awesome on like a line three. Can you do a line three? Can you have like a Scheifele centering Crosby and a point? Could that be, I don't know. I wonder what it could look like. But to say, does he deserve to be there? Yes, 100% Mark Scheifele, I think, should be on that roster. And again, I think Nick Suzuki should be as well. But it's what does that look like in the role that they're in? Because they're not going to displace one of the other centers playing above them unless there's an injury. So, but Mark Scheifele, I think that's a big thing with him, is that he's clearly a right-hand shot and he can play a little with a little edge too and maybe provide a bottom six role if they needed him.
Rupper, I want to ask you, because you played the role, maybe didn't score as many goals overall, but Trent Frederick, big physical forward on the Oilers, their games have been void of emotion at times. So last night he did, he kind of got after Bischel a little bit, but that was it, right? Like, you're not scoring a lot, when you're not scoring, and I will say the last few games he has started to hit, I think his game's picked up since the Vancouver game, no question. I think it's been better. But for a team that has been just flat at long times, like, you got to read the room sometime, do you not? And be like, hey, we got to get something going here. Get a scrum, be yapping at someone. And I just don't see that from him. Why do you think that is? And do you think he should bring more of it?
Well, I've loved Trent Frederick in his career, but he's and this was one of the things that I had to learn in my career too, because by nature I wasn't a guy to initiate those things in games.
Okay.
I would stand up for my teammates at any given moment. Trent Frederick would too. I mean, he'll stand in there with anybody for his teammates. But sometimes you need to learn that your role is to be that lightning rod.
Yeah.
And even to the degree where if things are going flat, like you're saying, we need something in those moments. But also, when you go out there and you play and you prod, now all of a sudden the attention's on you. Because when you're going to play the Edmonton Oilers, we all know where the game plan
is.
But that kind of goes out the window real quick when you have someone first shift, second shift, third shift that they're on the ice. They're shoving your best skilled players. They're whacking you in the back of the legs when you're going off the ice. Like, those things, I mean, we see it time and time again. I mean, I think that's why over the years you haven't seen think of some of the great agitators in the game. Like, when you think of Brad Marchand, think of him back in Boston when Patrice Bergeron's there. Have we ever seen Patrice Bergeron getting run? Have we ever seen him getting targeted in games? No, because you know what happened? You went into a game knowing you had to shut 37 down, and you had 63, Brad Marchand, that everybody on your team wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, your focus is off of maybe some of the objectives you had going into the night. That's an area I think Trent Frederick could do a better job of. Being a little bit more of a bully, it might not be in his personality, but the great thing playing in the National Hockey League, it's not real life. You can go out there and you can be someone you're not. Go and prod. I mean, I think it'd be very valuable for this team. And I'll go back to what I had a coach tell me a long time ago. Just basically said, if the other team doesn't want to rip your head off, I got no use for you.
Yeah,
and that's tough to hear at times.
Yes,
but that it's true when you're in that type of role. And I think that's an area that he can be better in.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like, you gotta stir the pot sometimes. And I love what you said there, that the focus becomes on you now sometimes, and it gets guys off their game or maybe out of their game, and now they're mad and they're yapping, and who knows? The next thing the guy's, because he's pissed off, you know, even though Frederick's not on their line, the next shift out, McDavid or Draisaitl will walk the guy because he's rattled. So, you know, but
look at it from the standpoint, and we'll still stick with Marchand. Look at what the Florida Panthers have done. I mean, Sasha Barkov, he's a big, strong man.
Yeah.
Not very mean. Like, if I'm playing against him, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get in that guy's face every time I can. Well, guess what? No one does, because you got Sam Bennett, who's acted like a fool the whole game. You've got about five guys.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now, like, you're looking and you're paying attention to different things.
Yeah. No, that's very well said. Rupper, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. I'll talk to you on the rundown on Friday.
Awesome, buddy. Enjoy.
There you go. That's Mike.